Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Halfling Monk Nick Korn, and welcome to the Leetku Studios Podcast, Freeware Game Review, Episode 56, Desktop Dungeons. Small podcast. Let's go with this. So I'm talking to you tonight about Desktop Dungeons. Desktop Dungeons is a cool little game. It's a roguelike game where, you know, you pick your character race and your character class, and then you're put into a dungeon and you want to defeat the boss of the dungeon and collect gold and treasures and make your god happy along the way, yada yada yada. It's a roguelike. It is like the classic game Rogue. Now, this game is very, I've never been a big fan of roguelikes, but, they've never really been, you know, a casual game. Like, you can't say that about roguelikes. At least, you know, not to my knowledge. They're based off the, you know, they're dungeon crawlers. They're about going through and hacking and slashing in the very, press against them with your sword, and they'll press against you with your sword, and we'll see who dies first kind of way. This game very much follows in that. Except, this game very well could be called a casual game. And here's why. It's a very short game. Each individual play. It is a roguelike. Each dungeon is randomly generated, but the entire dungeon takes place on one screen. It's sort of the gimmick of this game, if you will, is that the scale is very small. There is one screen. You start at level 1, and the highest monster in the game is level 10. There's very few, you know, items. Most items are passive. There's only maybe about 8 spells, magic spells. There's only about 8 magic spells, and that's really not all that many. And it's a very, very, it's not an easy experience. It's definitely a short experience, because you play it, and, you know, between 5 and 10 minutes, you've done a whole round, which most of the time will end up in death. Again, very much in the vein of roguelikes. It is the classic style. However, if you roll through and you get all your planning just right and you are the boss of the bosses and you manage to defeat the one boss enemy, the only level 10 enemy on the screen, the biggest one, the one who has a very verbose introduction speech, then you win. Every time you win, you unlock something. Until you've unlocked everything. The game starts you, and you have 5 races available to you, and only 4 classes. In total, there are actually 12 classes, and I am lying. There are 18 classes and 6 races. And technically, there's only one dungeon. There is a tutorial, there is the normal dungeon, and then there is a ranked dungeon, which is actually just a normal dungeon, except you can upload your score to the online rank leaderboard, so that way you can show everybody else how hardcore / time you've wasted on this game. Delete as you feel appropriate. So you go through this tutorial and you learn the basics of the game. The basics are as follows. You start and most of the map is blank. It is yet to be discovered. You only see the 8 squares around you and the one that you are on. Depending on your class, you may have class features such as the fighter can see the location of all similar or of all equal or lower level monsters than your current level. The wizard can see the location of all the magic spells on the screen. And there are a couple of other class perks along those lines as far as exploration goes. Otherwise, the only way to open up more of the dungeon is to move to a visible square, and it will reveal all currently unexplored adjacent squares. There are health potions and mana potions in this game, but the main way that you reveal, or the main way that you gain back health is by revealing unexplored tiles. For every tile you gain, you get back a hit point and a mana point. And this is one of the most gameplay interesting features of this game, is the use of exploration. I'm sure there are actually a number of people out there who would get very mad at this. All of the, you know, explorer type people. Was it the 4E? Explore, expand, exterminate, and extrapolate. Expendable, extraterrestrial, whatever. But basically, if you're the kind of person who likes to explore everything from the get-go, you are punished for that. Because then all of the, you know, potential health and mana regeneration is basically wasted, but used correctly. And it's basically playing with the fighter when you know where the monsters are is kind of easy mode, because you know it is very easy for you to plan out your path, to know where you're supposed to go, and the game proceeds normally, or the game proceeds in a very... It's basically the time when you have the most information and you can make the most well-thought-out decisions, because you have the most information. For most other classes, you pretty much go blind, and you just have to decide, well, I'm picking this direction, I'm going to go see what's over there, and I hope I find something I can kill to gain experience before I uncover more of the map than is necessary. Because in order to beat... A dungeon experience, let's call it, in order to beat one of the dungeons, you really need to manage your resources. There are five resources, if you want to consider unexplored tiles as a resource, which I think they are, but there is also gold, which you use at shops. There is piety, which you can use to gain extra traits from your god. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. And then there are health and mana potions. And then, of course, we have the monsters. There are quite a number of monsters in this game, and as you beat the game with classes, you unlock more monsters that will populate the dungeons. As well as, this is what I was talking about with the unlocks. Every time you beat the game with one of the classes, it keeps track, and you unlock new classes, you unlock new monsters, and you unlock new items. There are also, in addition to the normal dungeon, if you complete enough requirements, beating the game with enough classes, beating the game with all of the classes in one sort of class tier progression, you unlock special challenge dungeon. And by completing those, you unlock other bonuses that sort of adds more to the experience. Now, this game is created by Quarter Circle Forward Design, QCFdesign.com, and they actually mentioned, I was reading on their website, that part of their philosophy on unlocks is actually not even just a reward and motivation, nor is it just for replayability, so that way, as you beat the game, you get more content, and it makes you want to beat the game again. Considering, you know, played right, you can beat the game in about 10 minutes, then you really want people to keep playing. But they also make the argument that when you have to unlock content, and in the manner in which they are doing it, where as you're unlocking content, it's automatically put into the dungeon and further your experience, it's actually creating a sort of a guided gameplay experience without blatantly doing it and just waiting for progression. They're letting you play an entire game while confining you to what could be an easier time about it. Like I was saying, the fighter, where you can see monsters on the unexplored territory, that is one of the beginning classes. And there's only so many monsters, there's so many items, there's only so much you will encounter. When you beat the game with that, it unlocks a class which is more difficult to play with, something that more experienced users would be able to use, something for people who have beat the game and need a bigger challenge and are looking for a harder mode. It's It's sort of it's actually a rather neat idea, I find, that you are not you're giving them the whole game experience, but then you're basically rewarding them every time they play and beat your game. You're rewarding them by increasing the content of the game for another playthrough. And you might say it's sort of like cheap, and it's like, why not just have everything open at once? Because it is creating this guided experience. Like, it's not that it's preventing you from seeing the whole game at once, but it's allowing you to get a whole game experience while letting you, but keeping the game sort of tailored to where your skill progression should be. So that way, beginning players have a full game, but with content that is good for beginners. If you notice, there's a lot of board games where they'll have, sort of beginner rules, and then they'll have more advanced rules. A game like Classic BattleTech is one example, and that's, clearly you would need an easier set of rules there because not everybody wants all of that realism. Not everybody needs to do it. The beginning experience is complicated and fun and stands on its own, but there is more to it once you have a grasp of those rules, if you so wish to choose it. Perhaps a game even like Dominion, the card game deck building game. The game comes with a whole lot of cards, but you never use every card in a game session. You're always an entire game is built upon the idea that not every piece of content will be in it. And of course, that game does have, by the end, there's sort of a random pick of the draw to determine what your game is going to be. But they do have saying, for they have a couple of pre-set up combination of cards. So if you want to have, there's the beginner game which uses certain cards for the an easy to grasp experience, and then there's more advanced games that focus on learning attacks and how to mess with other players more than how to succeed yourself. It's not really an unpracticed concept to guide the experience of giving an entire game experience, but tailor it to beginners by limiting or carefully selecting content. But I haven't really heard of people putting this so well thought out, so much into the forefront, and then combining it with the idea of rewarding players for playing the game and sort of just motivating them as they go along and giving them more options and making increasing the scale of the game, which is funny because it goes back to this idea that this game has interesting scale. So there's, in a sense, two levels of scale. There's the level of you're on the game screen, where you start at level 1, you end at level 10, and you start, there are things that are scary, and there are things that are a good challenge, and by the end, there are things which are a good challenge, and things which you wreck with a single hit. To go up those levels so quickly, nobody that I know has tried to do that so quick. Even a game I'm familiar with, I want to say a game like the card game Munchkin. You go from, I'm pretty sure that's level 1 to level 10, and when you reach level 10, you win. And it's kind of the same idea here, but you never really feel the same scale in that game. It's totally not the point of that game, so I'm not sure why I'm comparing it to it. But I can't think of a better example when the idea is to have a large sensation of scale when all the numbers are relatively low. It's low range, high scale, I guess, is what they're trying to pull off here. One point about the game, and it is a major point about the game, but it is a major point of all roguelikes, which is something I've never completely been a fan of. Every dungeon is randomly generated. Now, as I was saying, there is more content added to the dungeon, so there's more things to randomly generate from, there's more players. The challenge dungeons have their, one of the dungeons is a snake pit, so all of the monsters have some sort of snake theme to them, but their placements and levels are still randomly generated. I've never been a fan of randomly generated games. Oftentimes, while playing this game, I feel that my chance of success at beating the level is it's not entirely dependent, but once you figure out what a winning strategy is, or if you think you have the winning strategy, once you figure out what the winning strategy is for you for that dungeon, then you kind of just use that until, you know, luck lets you win, because there's still a chance that you might just not get it. You might make all the right decisions, but the math might just not work out. You may not find it in quite the right way. It's very, very luck-based, and I'm a horrible die roller, so I never really like luck-based things. I picked up a die yesterday, just found it in a drawer. It wasn't even my house. I was just looking around. I was like, oh, hey, look, a die. I picked it up, rolled it, got a one. Because dice hate me, I guess. So definitely the challenge of the game is learning, you know, what the best tactics are to deal with the unknown that it is throwing at you, to deal with all the random things. And you can get pretty damn good. Even if you're not winning all the time, you feel a lot of games. It's completing a dungeon is sort of rare, and the game tells you you're going to die a lot. The tutorial instructs you to die at the end. They say it is possible to beat the boss at the end, but they just tell you just go kill yourself and try a real dungeon and start over. And that's sort of mean, but you know what? Even in this game, to even reach level 7 or 8, to get pretty far up without dying, to get even that high because of this small scale, because it is so quickly that you're going through it that a game can happen, you pretty quickly get feedback, and you can pretty clearly see the effects that your choices are having. So it doesn't feel like you're entirely getting screwed over because of luck, because if you make it to level 7 or level 8, and you're like, wow, I must have done something right to get this far along, I still died on the boss, but you know what, it's not like I explored half the map and was still stuck at level 3 and was just screwed out of it because I prayed to the wrong god or anything like that. So the game really... I think it's because of this small scale with a big feeling to it that the randomness isn't quite so much of a bust. There is a piece of design philosophy which was initially for making films, but I think can really be applied to anything in life. If you're going to create something, make it short. So that way, if it sucks, it doesn't suck for that long. And desktop dungeons, you can definitely say that. Because even if you're getting killed all the time and that sucks, it's not sucking for long. You have enough time to try it again and to try and get better at it. And that's really fun. And then to see yourself... see yourself leveling up, see yourself getting better. There are and I said I would get to this, so I'm getting to it now, damn it. There are a number of different gods that you can pray to. Each one of them will give you different abilities. And they're altars that you find in your exploring of the dungeon. You always start atheist, I suppose. And then if you find an altar, it'll tell you who the altar is for. And if you begin worshiping that god, you can... certain behaviors will make that god give you piety, which then you can trade in for favors, such as refilling your health, giving you an instant burst of experience by giving you bonuses to your health or attack. Depending, and so really that's almost a third, like, character trait, is do you, you know, you have your race and your class, but then as you're going along, you pick a god you want to pray to. And you don't have to, it definitely helps in some situations, but at the same time, you know, if you go with a certain god, they may like a certain kind of behavior, and then you're going along, you realize, this really isn't working out for this run, and it's a learning experience, trying to figure out what combinations go together, how to best use the limited tiles and time you have. And even though it is random, it is also very, very forgiving in that there is none of the monsters will attack you unless you attack them. So pretty much everything is under your control, except for the placement and levels of the enemies. But basically, once the dungeon is generated, the screen is generated, you just explore it, and if you want, you can backtrack as far as you want. You can try and say, okay, well, here's where this shop is. If I need to, I can come back and get this if I need that. You can use health potions whenever you want. The only thing that occurs in the dungeon, which you aren't the direct person providing the action of, is if you attack a monster and then you reveal more tiles to gain back health, the monsters will regain health as well. So that's indirectly, because of your actions, they are indirectly taking an action. But otherwise, you have to attack a monster for you to get hurt by them. You have to buy something from a shop for it to go away. The monsters don't move. The guys don't do anything on their own. They only reward you or punish you depending on your behavior. And the game gives you a very good sense of control. And while there is not, I'd say there's not a lot of opportunities for feedback. They're also, when you go to attack a monster, not only do they not attack on their own, but it also gives you a forecasting of what attacking them will do. It is pretty much, well, set in stone, and then they do all the calculations for you, and they just tell you, you're going to do this much damage to him, he's going to do this much damage to you, and if you attack him now, you're going to die. If you're going to attack him with this spell, you're going to use this much mana, and he'll get this much damage to him. And you can see all that without actually having to attack him. It's very clear, it's very upfront. So the game gives you, while it's created randomly, and then how that randomness turned out is hidden from you, as you discover it, information is just given to you, and it's very open, and you have plenty of opportunity to strategize and try and plan out what your best move is going to be, even if basically your best move ends up trying to find something better to do in the dungeon and hoping that it pays off. It's a very interesting game. It's very fun, it's very quick, and I find myself playing it an awful lot lately, because it's short. You can just, if you don't know how much time you got, you can just pick it up and play it, and it'll be there, maybe get a round or two in, and it's, because of the whole unlocks, you get the feeling that you really want to, like, sit down and try to pound it out and just get through the game and get what there is. At least I do, and I'm somebody who 100%ed every Burnout game because I wanted to. But even to just sit down and try to strategize, it's fun to try and it's very much like playing a game of solitaire, I suppose. It's very fun to, even if you aren't really working out or you already think you have the best strategy for winning, sometimes it is just fun to, on the smaller scale level, on the tactical decisions levels, to see how each individual dungeon is and try to figure out the best way to get through each dungeon. Never mind the overall scope of what is the best way to play the fighter or what is the best way to use magic spells, etc., etc. And I think I've rambled on about this game long enough. Once again, this was Desktop Dungeons by Quarter Circle Forward Design. That's qcfdesign.com. You don't have to remember it because I will put a link to it up on our website. Our website is olikustudios.net, OLEETKU, /podcast, and there will be a link to the game's website in the show notes. While you are there, feel free to check out any of our past shows. Feel free to share any of those shows with friends, with family, with coworkers. If there is a topic you would like us to cover, feel free to let us know what it is. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is podcast@olikustudios.net. Find us on Twitter at olikustudios, or my personal Twitter account is mastalcom, Master Elcom. So yeah, feel free to hit us up to let us know. I believe that covers it. I will talk to you all next week. Good night. Hello, hello, and welcome. I am... what am I?